Morning, everyone. I'm Alistair Black. I'm the senior pastor here. And we're really glad you're able to join us this morning to take part in this service. Some of you have heard this week that the Scottish Government announced that we're able to start having a form of congregational worship again. So people have been asking me, when are we getting back to the church? And the answer to that is, we're going to have to spend the next few weeks just working out the practicalities of that, working out how we apply government advice and all of that's involved in that. And so really, at the moment, until we complete this series, and this series has got another 4 or 5 weeks to run, we probably won't be bringing people back here into the sanctuary. But we will be working on it in background, and we will be working as fast as we can to, again, allow us to come back and enjoy public worship again together as a fellowship. Some of you have been passing on the links, and that's what we've been encouraging you to do, to email your friends, to pass this link on for people to engage with this material. And the reason we're encouraging you to do that, because as we said a couple of weeks ago, we think this is the most important message that is out there and the most essential message that is out there, and that people need to hear this, because the claims that Christians make about Jesus Christ are remarkable claims. And if those claims are true, then people need to engage with them. Clearly, we do believe that they are true. So this morning, I want to consider the question, why did Jesus come? Last week, we looked at who he was, and this week, I want to just consider this question. You see, Christianity says that Jesus came for two basic reasons. The first reason we looked at last week was to show us who God is. Some people have described world religions as man trying to reach up to God, or humanity trying to reach up to God. And this upward cry of human beings trying to be good enough for God and reaching up to him. But Christianity says that the message is not about us trying to reach up to God, but God reaching down to us. And so we believe in Jesus, we discover who God is, and we can know the true nature of God through Christ. But we believe something else. We believe that Jesus came not only to show us who God is and the depth of his love and care and concern for each one of us, but he came to show us who we are. And this morning I want to talk about that, about why Jesus came to show us who we are. When I was at school, we had prelims. I think they still do them. And they were to help us get ready for the exams. And part of it was that we had to have the experience of the exam, but it was also so that we could understand how prepared we were for the big day of the proper examination. And I remember, I was telling you last week that I played in a band when we were at high school, and really hires, as they were then, weren't that important, and they weren't very high in my priority at the time. And so when I went into the prelims, to say I wasn't prepared was an understatement. And on my chemistry, which was a multiple test choice where you had like four answers and you had to choose one, I got 23 out of 100. And my chemistry teacher seemed to take great delight in pointing out that a monkey who randomly chose the questions would get more than I had, which didn't make me feel that good. This is before affirmative teaching, you understand. It's the dark ages. I actually thought, but the worst one was my English exam. And we had spent 9 months studying this this book, Sunset Song by Lewis Gibbon, and we had to write on it, and I wrote this essay, and the mark came back, and I got 2.5% out of 100. Apparently, I'd got the name of the principal character wrong. I hadn't even got the character's name right for the 9 months that we had been studying this book. Now, here was a wake-up call. He was trying to show, these prelims were trying to show me something, which was, You are not ready for this exam. You are nowhere near ready. You have not been working in the way that you should be in the lead up to this. And you now are in a desperate, precarious situation. And you can either acknowledge where you are and do something about it, or you can face the day of the examination unprepared. And you know, we are faced by this message in terms of Jesus. Jesus has come, and we could call it an inconvenient truth, because, you know, some people think that Jesus came to give us an example to live by, that he came to reform and resolve all of the social ills, or that he came to end the sufferings of the world. And he did all of these. But the principal thing that Jesus came to do was warn us and tell us that we're not in the place that we need to be. And that if we don't do something about this now, it will have desperate ramifications and implications for us in the future as we move ahead. And so he came, first of all, to communicate to us that we have a heart problem. A lot of people kind of get very righteous about our culture today. In fact, sometimes they look back at previous cultures and characterize them as barbaric and things. But reality is that, you know, in the 20th century, we saw the most indescribable things happening in the world. Supposedly, we were at the apex of our civilization and advancement. But, you know, they reckon that there was 100 million people died due to violence in the 20th century. 100 million people. That's totally unprecedented. If you calculated all the people who had died in all the wars previous to that, they still wouldn't come anywhere near that. You know, today, they reckon that we're facing 80 million displaced people. People who actually, because of the things that human beings do, because of the policies that governments follow, because of the way that the West behaves, are actually displaced. 80% of them facing food shortages. You know, there's been a lot of talk about 19th century and slavery. But the reality is that today, where when there was the abolition of slavery, there was maybe 150,000 slaves released in terms of Britain and its territories, maybe 1 million slaves globally. But nowadays, right at this moment, there are over 20 to 40 million trafficked individuals in our world right now. We're not talking historically, right at this moment. You know, this advanced, civilized, almost, I'll say, self-righteous society actually has some of the most diabolical things going on it right at this moment. And we don't have to go 100 miles to see this. We can go to Glasgow. We can go to places like Rochdale. We can read about the rich and famous like Jeffrey Epstein and his girlfriend and others that are associated. And we see that there is a fundamental problem even in our advanced modern world. You see, Jesus explained that there is a big problem with humanity. And, you know, in the 21st century, that problem has not been resolved or dealt with. And even in our kind of self-righteousness, we actually have to recognize that there is something going on. Jesus tells us the reason the world is not the way it's supposed to be is because we're not the way we're supposed to be. You see, some people say the situation is like this because, well, we make mistakes. We can't help ourselves. It's my upbringing. It's the social structures. We find all kinds of excuses for actually our self-indulgence. We find all sorts of excuses for the way that the world is. And Jesus says it's our problem. And it's a problem that's not just out there, but it's actually something that's here. See, Jesus is saying that all of us have a sin problem inside. That's what he's saying. And he's saying the problem with the world, the problem with everything that we see going on is actually you and me. And we can do two things with this. We can either recognize it, and you know, after my prelims, I was invited to recognize I had an issue, or we can deny we have an issue and ignore it and go on as if we are somehow okay. And I'm not saying that, you know, we don't all have good stuff. I'm sure we all have special achievements and success at work or maybe sport or music and times when we've helped others or been generous with our money or done really good things. But there are other times when we don't want the things that we don't want anyone to see, things that we've done, things that we've said, things that we've thought. And it's not just the things that are wrong that we've done. You know, there are things that we should have done that we've left undone. We call these in Christianity sins of omission. But things that we should have been to others, things that we should have said and we didn't, things that we should have engaged with and acted in relation to and we didn't. And Jesus, here in this passage that we read in Mark chapter 7, explains that the problem is a heart problem. He said this in Mark chapter 7. He said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within. Out of a person's heart, the evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these things come from inside and defile a person." You know, Jesus is saying basically there is a degree of malevolence in your heart that you need to recognize. There is something within you that you need to recognize and that you need to deal with. You see, the second thing that we have to recognize about Jesus is that Jesus came to cure our heart problem. There's a story in Mark chapter 2, and it talks about Jesus going to a tax collector's house, and this tax collector was called Levi. And these tax collectors, they're not like tax collectors in our society. These guys were perceived as traitors, collaborators. They worked for the occupying forces and oppressive powers. And here we had this situation where Jesus decides to go and eat with one of these tax collectors. And the religious people and the self-righteous people kind of look at this and go, "Jesus, what are you doing? You're meant to be a good person. You're meant to be a righteous person. What are you doing hanging out with people who have a sin problem? You should be hanging out with us." You see, the people that were criticizing Jesus were looking at the world and saying there are good guys and bad guys. And we're the good guys. And he's one of the bad guys. And you're not hanging out with the good guys, you're hanging out with the bad guys. What's wrong with you, Jesus? What kind of religious figure are you? What kind of example are you to others that you choose the bad guys over the good guys? And Jesus turned around and he explained to them and he said, "You know, you guys just don't get it. People who think that they are healthy don't see the need of a doctor. But this man recognizes that he isn't healthy, and therefore he needs to do something because he's not in a good place." And Jesus said, "I'm here for those kind of people, those kind of people who recognize that they have a heart problem and they have to do something about it. I have nothing to offer those that think they don't have an issue." Third thing then is, why does this heart problem matter? I remember once I was working at Marks and Spencer's, and I was talking to one of the guys at work, and we were talking about Christianity, and he said, "You know, basically, I'm a good person. I occasionally do wrong things," which is kind of hard to explain because I'm basically a good person, "but You know, basically, I do a lot more good than I do harm. And you Christians are just way too down on us as human beings. And I kind of thought about what he said, and I said, well, yeah, maybe you have a point here. I said, but let's just imagine we took a camera or we got a projector and we were to show the movie of all your thoughts and all your actions and all your behaviors and the stuff that you do and the stuff that you don't do and the stuff that you think and the stuff that you don't think. And I said, we'll just take a week of your life, maybe the last week that you've lived. And I said, we'll all sit here in this canteen and we'll all watch it. And I want to ask you, how many people at the end of that would turn around and say you're a good person? Once we'd seen that, you know, just watched a week of your life, not a year, just a week. And he looked at me and he smiled. And he said, I can kind of see maybe you have a point. You see, Jesus said that we all have a heart problem and we need to do something. And the third question was, why does this heart problem matter? It matters because if you don't deal with it, it has serious consequences. I had a friend, and he hated doctors. And he started to develop a serious illness, but he wouldn't go to the doctor with it. And he kind of did two things. The first thing is he just tried to ignore it, and he hoped it would go away. If I just don't concentrate on this and I pretend it's not there and I pretend I'm healthy and I'm okay and there is no issue, it will cease to exist. And of course it won't get any worse. And inevitably it started to get worse. And it started to get to the point where he couldn't ignore it anymore. But he still wouldn't go to the doctor. And so what he started to do was go on the internet and find solutions. And so he'd start ordering in colloidal silver because he was telling me silver's a disinfectant and that will cure it and that will deal with it. Or then he started to buy all these kind of berries and drink juices. And I'm going, what are you doing? And he actually at one point started to eat apple seeds because he told me the cyanide would deal with it. Eventually it got to such a point that he had to go and see the doctor. And when he went to see the doctor was really upset with him. And he said, we're going to have to do a serious operation now. If you had come to us and you had dealt with this when you first had this, we could have avoided what's now going to have to happen. You know, he was an idiot. And why was he an idiot? Because first of all, he tried to ignore the issue. But secondly, he thought he could deal with the issue by himself. Jesus in Mark chapter 9, he explains to a group of people, and he says these words, and these are hard words. He says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life marred than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it out. It is better to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be able to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. You kind of go, whoa, Jesus, where's this message of love? But actually, what Jesus is saying here is not incompatible with love. What Jesus is saying here is he's saying, I care so much about you. I need to communicate this message to you really clearly. And here's the message. You cannot ignore your sin problem. Because if you ignore it now, it will have consequences later. And you will discover that when you stand before God on the day of judgment, you will be excluded from God's presence. You know, but you go, wait a minute, isn't Jesus and God a God of love? Isn't that what God, Jesus shows us? And it's true. But it's like me, if I had a coronavirus and I wanted to get on a plane and I kind of walked up and I said, guys, I've got coronavirus and I haven't really done anything about it and I haven't self-isolated because I think that's just for other people. It's not really for me. And but come on, just let me get on the plane. And you know, it wouldn't matter who it was. It might be my best friend that's the flight attendant. And it might be, my mum that's there. But no matter who it is, they would have to say to me, I'm sorry, although we love you and we care about you, we can't allow you to bring this onto the plane. It has to be dealt with. And if you bring this onto the plane, you don't just affect yourself. You actually affect everybody else. And Jesus is explaining this in Mark chapter 9. He's saying, if you don't deal with your sin problem now, it's going to get dealt with in the future. And he's saying, you can do two things at the moment. You can ignore this, but that is a stupid thing to do. Or you can try and sort it yourself, but you will never sort this yourself. Or you can actually recognize that you have an issue and do something about it. What is that something that Jesus calls us to do? He says, you have to repent. You have to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the wrong in my heart. Jesus actually tells a story of two guys that went to church or went to the synagogue, and one felt really righteous and the other realized he was a sinner. And they went to pray, and the righteous guy stood up and he prayed like this. He said, I just thank you that I'm not like other people. I thank you that I'm basically good. I thank you that I give to charities. I thank you that I work at the food banks. I thank you that I care about people and I'm basically a good religious person. And he said, the other guy prayed like this. He came in and he said, God, I recognize I have a heart problem. I recognize that I am seriously broken inside. I recognize that there is all this wrong stuff inside me, and I recognize I can't sort it myself. And so I pray for your forgiveness and ask you to come into my life and deal with this issue now. Extend your forgiveness and let me trust you to deal with my sin problem. Jesus asked the question, which one do you think was justified before God? Jesus says, repent and believe. When he talks about believe, he's saying, believe that I can deal your sin problem and that you can't sort it yourself. When he says repent, he's saying, recognize that you have an issue and do something about it. Now, hey, you can ignore this. You can say, I haven't got a problem. That's just religious mumbo-jumbo. It's just trying to make me feel guilty. And you can ignore this, and you can try and sort it yourself. But the truth is that there will come a day where if you don't let God sort it now, you will have to give an account. And Jesus, because he loves us deeply and cares about us, said to everybody, guys, wake up and do something now. Just like when I did those prelims. People said, you can either continue the way you're going, you can fail to recognize that you have an issue, you can walk into that exam and just bomb, or you can do something now. You'd be glad to know that I did something. I managed to even get into Edinburgh Uni. But you have the same issue this morning. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about your brokenness? What are you going to do about your sin problem? Are you going to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you going to persist ignoring him and trying to deal with these issues yourself? Be smart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge of your message. I thank you that you loved us so much that you challenged us about the sin in our lives. You didn't just ignore it. You just didn't avoid that uncomfortable conversation. You didn't pretend that we were something that we were not, but you confronted us with the reality in our lives, the reality that drives so many of the broken things that we see in our world. Lord, this morning we just pray that none of us would ignore our heart issue, that none of us would sit here thinking that it doesn't ultimately matter and it's not that important. Lord, I also pray that you would help us avoid the danger of thinking that it's nothing, of thinking that we can somehow sort it ourselves. Lord, I just pray that you would help us be like Levi the tax collector, like the guy in the synagogue who actually said, Lord, we recognize we're broken. We recognize that there are wrong thoughts and wrong behaviors and wrong attitudes in our lives. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness and we ask that you would come and resolve the sin in our life. We ask this in your name. Amen.